either behind or ahead. But the life has to be lived now, at the present moment. And that is why we want to welcome you to the power of now. Okay? See, it is said that past is gone and done, future is yet to come. But life is here with us now. Definitely the past has its own importance, as it gives us memories, it gives us lessons, which are very useful for all of us to have a better quality of life, to not repeat the mistakes, and to have a real quality and fulfilled life. Future too has its own significance. It gives us hope, a lot of hope, especially when we are going through tough times, trying times. When we think of future, okay, this phase is not going to last forever. There is a bright future ahead. There is something positive to look forward to. Okay? So past and future both have their role in our lives. But past cannot be changed. Neither can it be held on to. Okay? Even if the past is good, you cannot hold on to it. It is gone, it is gone. And if the past is bad, you cannot change it. It is bad, it is bad, it is there. Okay? And the future is very much dependent on what you are going to do today. Okay? What you do today decides how your future is going to be. Yes? Our today is what we did in the past. Right? And our future is going to be what we do today. So, there is a nice joke I heard. In a psychiatric clinic, a lady came and was waiting for a long time. And she asked the receptionist, "What's the time?" And the receptionist said, "It's 6:45. And she just looked at the receptionist and said, "Isn't it crazy?" The receptionist said, "Why?" Said, "I have been asking the same question to 10 people, 10 times today, and everyone is giving me different answers." It's a joke. Right? Maybe she was in a psychiatric clinic. That's why she was in a psychiatric clinic. That she didn't know that time does not wait. Time keeps moving. Always. From our childhood, we have been hearing this very famous doha. Kal kare so aaj kar, aaj kare so ab. Pal me pralaya hoegi bahuri karoge kab. I don't know whether how many of us know it's a doha of Kabir, and most of us know only the first two lines, and we very well know how to use them very expertly as per our convenience. Like in college days at least, whenever the film has to release, it's already planned. This show, this date, and this group is going to go bus after this lecture or after a mass bunk or whatever. It's planned. And the plan goes to the parents and the parents say, "Please, the exams are just 2 weeks now. You can do whatever you want after the exams." And we are convinced, no, kal kare so aaj kar. We just cannot miss it, you know. And actually, as the time passed, this was when, I guess, when I was young, like all of you. And the time had changed, and now we hear a different doha, a changed doha. What it is? Do you know? Aaj kare so kal kar, kal kare so parso. Itni bhi kya jaldi hai, jina hai jab barso. So cool, na? Time, place and circumstance, everything is changed. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And Kabir's doha still remains true. You cannot change it as per your convenience. Now you may say, "I know this Mataji is going to talk the same thing, that do your work today, do not procrastinate, do this, that." We saw in the drama and you all said you got the lesson. So we thought of touching this topic of power of now from a different perspective. We'll discuss some other aspects of power of now, not just the procrastination. Definitely procrastination is the greatest disease, as we miss the chance, the golden opportunities to do valuable things. But here today we are going to discuss the two aspects of power of now. The first aspect is the power of time, and another aspect is the power of choices, power of making right decisions. To understand the power of now, again we will be discussing few examples. Let's take an example of a college. Most of you are college students, and you are in your final year, and the college has arranged a visiting faculty to give a lecture on a very important, crucial topic which is of utmost importance from your exam point of view. And you go to the lecture, you sit in the lecture hall, and the faculty comes and he starts, and you start feeling sleepy. Once a teacher asked a student, "Who is the lecturer?" And the student said, "Lecturer is a person who has a very bad habit to speak when someone is sleeping." So as the person started, this faculty starts the lecture, you start feeling so sleepy. You try your best to hold your eyelids with your mighty hands, but the eyelids prove to be more powerful. And you just can't control, and whole 1 hour goes in struggle. And the faculty walks off, and then you wake up to the fact that I missed it. It's gone, it's done. And then you run to any temple, any mosque, any church, any sadhu, yogi, baba, anyone, and you request to them, "I'm so sorry, I missed the lecture because I was sleepy. Can you please rewind only 1 hour? Just rewind only this much, and I just want to hear what he said. I just want to please rewind. I will perform any austerities. I will do fasting. I will walk barefoot every Friday. I will switch off my WhatsApp for 2 days if you want. It's a great austerity, but I will do it. Please rewind it." Nobody can do that. Nobody can rewind even a moment in our life. Everybody agrees to that. It cannot be rewinded. Take another example. You are driving a car, or you are driving a bike, to be more trendy. You are driving a bike. You are going to catch up with some important event, or maybe you are just going to meet your friend, and you are driving with full speed, and you come at a junction, and you just realize that a car is passing by in full speed across, and you say, "Let me take a chance," and you just go with full speed, and the car just dashes, and she tosses us, and we fall apart, maybe our limbs apart, or maybe we may lose our precious life. And then we can't say, "Oh, sorry, can you please rewind? Just one moment, I want to wait." No, we cannot rewind it. We cannot do it. Somehow, come what may, whatever austerities, whichever temple, wherever you want to go, this one thing you cannot change. Once the time has gone, is gone. Chanakya Pandit says, "Ayusha kshana ekopi na labhya swarna koti bhi na cha nirarthakam neetim ka cha hanis tathodikam." He says the one moment of your life is compared to, it's not even compared to, actually says one moment of life cannot be brought back even by giving millions, billions, trillions of gold coins. Whatever you do, it cannot come back. That's why time is very precious. Time is the most precious commodity because it's limited. It's very limited. You can earn more money, You can earn wealth, you can earn many other things, but you cannot earn time. Whatever is time is allotted to you, it's limited. You have to use that time, and at that moment you make choices. So since the science is making so much advancement, medical science has made tremendous advancement, there have been solutions to so many diseases which were deadly a few years back, few decades back. Physics has its own inventions, chemistry has gone so ahead. Science has made tremendous advancement for the benefit of humankind, but though thousands of Nobel Prizes are won for thousands of reasons, nobody has been able to conquer time. Nobody can do it. You can, as they say, you can stop the watch, stop the clock, but cannot stop the time. You can reset your watch, but you cannot reset the time. The time once gone is gone. This aspect of now, which is the power of time, is beyond our control. Once it is gone, it is gone. But the power of choice, how we utilize our now, is all ours. Once a very successful manager was interviewed, and they asked him, "Sir, can you please tell us what is the secret of your success?" And he said two words. And the interviewer said, "Sir, what are they?" He said, "The right decisions." The interviewer said, "Oh, thank you, sir. And how do you make right decisions?" He says, "One word." He said, "What is that?" I said, "Experience." He says, "Oh, sir, great. How do you get experience?" He says, two words. "So what are they?" "Wrong decisions." So it's not always true that for taking right decisions, we have to go through first taking wrong decisions, right? So the power of choice is influenced by many factors. To take right decisions, we are just going to discuss in short the three factors which influence our power of taking right decisions. Let's first actually go through this two examples, what we took, and then we can go ahead. Now the first was that you felt sleepy in the faculty's lecture. You were sleepy. The most probable reason is you didn't have good sleep the previous night, right? So when you're feeling sleepy, you had a choice to excuse yourself from the class, splash some water on your face, maybe shake yourself, and going to the roots, maybe could have slept little early on time, keeping your phone aside, closing all the chats. I got a very nice message, again on WhatsApp only, from one of my college friends. She said, "Neend aankh band karne se nahi aati, net band karne se aati hai." So, that's how. So we could have maybe slept on time. Or when we were driving a car, if we just know, "Sir salamat to pagdi pachas," nothing more important than your life. And when you are driving, actually the focus is never speed. The focus is safety. When we drive with focus of safety, then we drive safely. And that's the real thing. So, as we said, we are going to discuss three aspects which help us to take right decisions. The first one is clarity of thoughts. If your thinking is clear, if you have focus in life, then we know what has to be done at a particular moment, what we have to choose, which option we have to choose at that moment. I just want to cite an example of one of our very great acharya, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was a district magistrate. And he was so expert in his profession that what took other magistrates, the cases which other magistrates took days to solve and give justice, Bhakti Vinod Thakur could do it in minutes. In minutes. He could do several cases in a day, and with accuracy, a lot of accuracy. This was in British time, and Britishers were so happy and so impressed with his work that they actually laid a tram track right from his doorstep to the court. They valued his time so much that he doesn't have to, you know, travel through other public this. Right from the doorstep. And you can still see. If you go to Mayapur, you can still see that tram, and the train still runs there. I just want to read out the... This is not to scare you, but I just want to read out to you the schedule that Bhakti Vinod Thakur followed. I hope I have written. Yeah. It's a very interesting. Nobody can do it, and you will not find anybody who will do it, who must have done it also. His rest time is 8 to 10 p.m., 2 hours only. The peak time of all the serials, Hindi and Marathi, both, 8 to 10. This is his rest time. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., he would write. Okay. From 4 to 4:30, he would take rest. From 4 a.m. to 4:30 a.m., rest. From 4:30 to 7 is japa, chanting Hare Krishna. 7 to 7:30 was correspondence of his professional needs. 7:30 to 9:30 was studying shastras. 9:30 to 10 was bath and taking prasadam. 10 to 1 was court duties, 1 to 2 was refreshing at home. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the father of 10 children. Okay. 2 to 5 again court duties, 5 to 7 translation of Sanskrit scriptures to Bengali, 7 to 8 bath and prasad, and again 8 to 10. Anyways, this was just, it came to my mind about, when I thought about the clarity of thoughts, it naturally came to my mind the example of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because we see a direct correlation of his, the swiftness of his actions and the life what he followed. Okay, we get the focus of life by having focus of mind and clarity of thought. Okay, and how do we achieve that? How do we train our mind to be focused? Nowadays so many yoga studios are being opened, so many people practice yogas, meditation, to have their mind focus. And the best yoga, the best way to focus in this age is, all of you know, chanting the Maha Mantra. Mantra, mana trayate iti mantra. That's the best way to conquer your mind and have a focus. We'll discuss about it. I'll go faster. We'll discuss. If we have time, we'll discuss this in detail. The second thing is able guidance. To be able to have to have the ability to take guidance, to take right decisions, we must have able guidance. People, this is very rare. The guidance in general has become very rare, able guidance in this world. And more rare are the people who need guidance actually. Everybody needs guidance, but people are very rare who want guidance. Usually people are like, me and my life, leave me, you know. I know what is to be done. People don't need guidance. There is a very nice story which demonstrates this. We'll quickly run through the story. There was a group of monkeys who stayed in grooves in the garden of a king. And they were very happy. They were staying in mango groves and they really enjoyed the atmosphere. And especially this was the summertime and the mango season, and the monkeys were really happy. And one day an old monkey came running to them and said, "Wicked this place, wicked this place." I said, "Why? Why?" He said, "It's dangerous. We cannot stay here. We have to move." And they said, "But why, you know?" He said, "Just now I saw that a sheep was eating the vegetables in king's kitchen." He said, "So, what's our connection? No? The sheep is eating and we are also eating, and why should we move? Why should we move?" He said, "See, I saw that the sheep was eating the vegetables and cook, out of anger, picked up the burning wood, firewood, and threw at the sheep. And the sheep ran away. The sheep escaped." I said, "So good. So why should we go away?" He said, "Because one day the sheep will not be able to escape and the firewood will touch the sheep's body. And the sheep, the wool on its body will catch fire. And the sheep will be so scared, it will run. And as it will run, there is a stable of horses nearby. And the sheep will enter the stable. And as the sheep is frightened, it will roll on the ground. And the grass in the stable will catch fire. As the grass will catch fire, the horses will also get burned. And they will suffer the burn wounds. And you know what is the best medicine for horses' burns? You know? It's the flesh of monkeys." So he said, "So it's not safe for us. We'll be killed. The king knows we are here. We will be killed. Let's leave." But the young monkeys didn't want to listen. Like all of us, like, we don't always like to listen to the elders' advice. We feel they are too pessimistic and non-practical and they are like too much. So similarly, these young monkeys, they just didn't want to listen. They said, "This is all just imagination, you know. This is, nothing is going to happen. And you are just wanting to deprive us from our enjoyment. This is summer season, we want to enjoy." And the old monkey tried to advise them and it had to just walk off alone. And what? One day, the sheep couldn't escape, caught fire, ran to the stable. The stable went on fire, the horses suffered wounds. The king sent the men to catch the monkeys. Monkeys were killed for their flesh as a medicine to the horses. So the point is that the monkeys, the young monkeys, even though the able guidance was available, they didn't want to accept it. We have thousands of such examples, like we have in scriptures example of Dhritarashtra. When Duryodhan was born, so many bad omens were seen. Duryodhan, when he was born, he didn't cry. He howled. He screamed. So Vidura, who was the most learned person at that time in Hastinapur, told Dhritarashtra that, "Just cast this baby aside. Cast him away. Reject him. He is going to be the cause of destruction for your entire dynasty. Just leave him." But Dhritarashtra could not hear the good guidance. Because he did not have clarity of thoughts. He could not accept good guidance. But here, on one hand, we have example of Arjun. Arjun was very confused about his duties. When the war was about to begin, Arjun requested, "Please take me between the armies." Two armies were so eager to fight. And when Arjun saw his kinsmen, his relatives, he was so disturbed. Though he had clarity of thoughts, the focus, but it was all overcome by compassion. The compassion in his heart, the softness of his heart. He got so worried about all these people and the consequences of war, he told Krishna, I don't want to fight. He almost gave up. But he sought the guidance of Krishna, and Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and told Arjuna, now you can do whatever you want to do. But Arjuna accepted the guidance, followed and turned victorious. The third point is intuition. To take right decision. Sometimes we have to take situations in life force us to take decisions at that time, wherein you can't rationalize, you can't go looking for guidance. Whatever focus, that time the focus of your life, the focus of your thoughts, the clarity, it manifests as something called as intuition. Intuition is not a dictation of your mind. It is something which comes, speaks from within. When I speak of intuition, the story of Vasudev and Devaki comes to my mind. When Devaki and Vasudev were married, Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, was taking them on a chariot. Himself was driving the chariot. And as they were going, a voice from the sky spoke that, O foolish Kamsa, you are such a fool that you don't know the very son of this sister of yours, whose chariot you are driving with so much of love, is going to be the cause of death for you. He is going to be your killer. And suddenly Kamsa changed from a loving brother to a killer. He pulled out his sword and he was about to cut. He was about to sever the neck of his sister, his very sister whom he loved, so called. And at that time, just imagine what was the situation of Vasudev. He just married. It's a duty of a husband to protect the wife. And he's seeing that his wife is just going to be killed right in front of his eyes. So Vasudev had to really think fast. And he had to do something to protect her. And here comes the intuition. And Vasudev told Kamsa, just wait. You know, you don't have any problem with Devaki. Now, why do you want to kill her? I promise you that all my children, whenever they are born, I will get them to you as soon as they are born. You have problem with my children? I'll give you all the children. Because Vasudev had this intuition from within that if my 8th child is going to be the killer of Kamsa, nothing can change this. Right now what I want to do is protect Devaki. Right now, because future we don't know. Now is in my hand. So he just hastily, he spoke, and again he spoke many more things to convince Kamsa not to kill Devaki, and Devaki was saved. Again, we cannot say, oh, this was my intuition that I drove fast. It was my intuition. You can't justify, because intuition is something you can say, I'm getting an intuition that I must purchase this phone and like that. That is not intuition. Intuition comes when you really are sincerely seeking to choose or to take an important decision, to choose a path. It comes from within. So these three things, the clarity of thoughts, able guidance, and the intuition, okay, they are in our control. The power of now, with regards to these three things, is in our control. But the power of time is not in our control. Not at all. So if we want to have a better quality of life in future, we better make right choices now. And we should not be procrastinating even making the choices. We can't say that, let me think about it later. Because once the time is gone, it is gone. Today is Hanuman Jayanti. Can I have 5 minutes more? I'm just rushing through because this is time for Kirtan actually. But since today is Hanuman Jayanti, Actually, I realized it just yesterday, so I couldn't. I didn't know when the lecture was planned. I didn't know it was Hanuman Jayanti, otherwise we would have chosen topic also accordingly. But nonetheless, I don't want to miss the chance to speak something about Hanumanji. In Hanumanji's life also, we see, not in his life we can say, in his pastimes we see this power of now. I was just coming in the train, I was thinking that when Hanumanji was given the mission to find Sita, the group of monkeys, they really searched in southern direction to the best of their capacity, to the best of their ability, but they couldn't find Sita Devi. And they were really aghast. How can we show our face to Lord Ram with this unsuccessful mission? What should we should give up our life. And they were just discussing like that. But Hanumanji had an intuition, because Lord Ram had given him the ring to give to the Sita. So he knew that, no, Sita Devi will be found and I will be able to do it. And as they were discussing about the pastimes of Lord Ram, one mighty vulture came and he looked at the monkeys, the group, and thought that this is a great feast for me. Today I am going to kill them and have a great feast. And as the vulture was nearing, he heard the monkey speaking about Jatayu. They were speaking about pastimes of Lord Ram, and they were speaking about how Jatayu gave up his life protecting Mother Sita. And as soon as this vulture heard, he stopped. He said, "What are you speaking? What did you say, Jatayu?" He said, "Yes, Jatayu." "So what happened to Jatayu?" He said, "Jatayu was killed as he was trying to protect Mother Sita." And this vulture was in tears. He started crying. He said, "Oh, Jatayu, my brother. Jatayu was my younger brother. I am Jatayu's elder brother. My name is Sampati." And then monkeys told him the entire story of how Sita Devi was kidnapped. And then Sampati said, "Oh, let me help you. I am a vulture, and vultures have a very, very powerful vision." He said, "I will tell you where you should go to find Sita." And Sampati provided an able guidance to find where Sita Devi is. And he told that she has been taken by Ravan to Sri Lanka, and you can find her there, but you will have to cross the ocean. And when Hanumanji heard that, he was concerned now how and who will go, and everybody was discussing. And again Jambavan came, and Jambavan provided as a, he became a guidance for Hanumanji. He reminded Hanumanji of his strengths and he can do it. And Hanumanji flew across the ocean in one jump, and as he was flying across, a golden mountain rose from the sea, and it requested Hanumanji that, "I am a friend of your father and I really want to render some service. You have been going long distance and you will be going a long distance. Please halt here for a moment. Just take some rest and then you can carry on with your mission." But Hanumanji was completely focused. He had that clarity what he wants. He wanted to find Sita Devi. So he just touched the mountain, offered his respects and flew. And he found Sita Devi. As we know the story, the time is actually over. Time is over, right? We want to do kirtan, na? I can speak. Okay. I actually dropped many points in between. But I wanted to say that what we do, as we discussed, what we do now is going to affect our future. Like, how we take care of our health now is going to give us the health in future. What we eat now decides how we are going to be in the future. Again, a funny thing. You all must be knowing, it was running on WhatsApp a few days back about eating. Youngsters are very careful about what they eat. They are more careful about what they like, and especially when it comes to eating. So there was a very nice not very nice, but something funny. What is that? Pizza, pasta, burger, chips. Today on lips, forever on hips. So today, if you choose to, what you choose to eat today will going to give you health in the future. If you take care of your health now, of course I know there are people crazy about zero figure, and they may have it all without cheese and something like that. But essentially, what we eat today, it affects our health in future. For students, if we study now, students who study now will see their exams going good and see their results also good. When we were in our college, in hostel, there was always a group of girls who had a different philosophy. They just were so this about studies. Whenever exams would come, there would be an exam fever. You would see lights on in the hostel throughout the night. In the day, you will see on the staircase girls are studying. So, but they had a different funda. What was it? Do you know this? They had a doha of their own. They said, "Padhna likhna chhod, nakal par kar aas." What is nakal? Nakal is copy. Nakal kar aas, chhod padhai, od rajai, khuda karega paas. So that was their funda. But we know those who follow this, the results are khuda ke naam. They don't see it. Similarly with our relationships, the more we invest in our relationships now, we are going to have fulfilling relationships in the future. The more we neglect our relationships now, we are going to be frustrated in the future. And that's the power of now. What we choose to do now is going to be our future. What was our past is our today. But past cannot be changed. But definitely future can be handled properly by how we handle now. And that is the power of now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.